Hi, buddy. Welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Alex. I'm here alongside, as always, take you to three. Hand it off to our great friend, Phil Bonatti, his outstanding show behind the bench on for a couple hours today, and then it's time for playoff football tonight. Clovis West at La Monica. That's a 6:30 pre. Pat Hill will be there as well with Paul Metters and Phil, so stay tuned for that. Lakers over on 790. Brian with us today to talk Bulldog football. I want to thank our sponsors for allowing me the time to push them back a little bit in the show today. So thanks to everybody at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. I will get to all of those fine businesses a little bit later on. But right now, on this Friday, we bring up our longtime and great friend and Mr. Top Dog himself and the best lawyer on the planet. And I guess, live and direct, pairing off animals 2x2 in Los Angeles. We kid around about this, but L.A. has four different seasons, including drought season, mudslide season, rainy season, earthquake season. It's Brian Panish. Brian, how you doing?
Well, Tony, I'm just sitting here looking at Lanai, so I'm not looking at any rain.
Well, okay. I should have known that you have gone to sunnier and warmer climes. What is it, 81 right now?
It's 79, but I came out here to see my friends, and I have a wedding tonight, and of course I'll see some of my local Hawaii Rainbow fans who are over the moon this week, I would say. It would be a fair statement about their state of mind, Tony.
Well, after what happened in San Diego State, I wouldn't blame them. And by the way, it's an earlier start in Hawaii at 5:30, so a more tenable time on FS1. But look, you and I talked about this after the Fresno State-Hawaii game where the Bulldogs escaped, and I do mean escaped, because if that two-point conversion was successful, overtime looked very favorable to Hawaii. That game right now is the reason that Hawaii is still chasing it. Otherwise, they would be in terrific position, and Fresno State would be in arrears. As it stands right now, Brian, as you're well aware, if the Bulldogs can win out, as long as Boise State loses once, unless something with UNLV or New Mexico happens where they sweep, Fresno State's going to get in. Now, that's something that Matt Entz does not want to even address, but I will ask you, do you believe right now if the Bulldogs can win tomorrow night against Wyoming, beat a tough Utah State team, at least offensively a tough team the next week, and then win at San Jose, will the Bulldogs get in that final two, in your opinion?
I believe they will, Tony. It's a long road. It's a lot of ifs. But again, if we were to, in the beginning of the season, before we started and first show, said, okay, let's go to 3 weeks left, Fresno State wins out there in the conference championship, would you take that as a successful season? And the answer is, of course we would. And they're right there again, having something to play for. Some teams have nothing to play for. So the Bulldogs have a lot to play for. However, I expect a tough game on Saturday night from those Wyoming Cowboys. I mean, they played San Diego State pretty tough. They have some things that will give the Bulldogs trouble. And they seem to always play the Bulldogs tough in Fresno.
Well, that is true. And we've talked about Low Ebb a couple of times. They've come in here and beaten the Bulldogs and really left Fresno State beaten and bruised as much emotionally as on the field itself. As far as tomorrow goes, and your point is well taken, Brian, the over-under on the game, and we're not talking about betting the game, we're just talking about how the odds makers look at it. You got an over-under of 40, which is very unusual for a game in California where weather is normally not an issue, and it, you know, might be raining, but again, it's not going to be the frozen tundra out there. You're on sprint turf. But you have two teams, Brian, as you know, you're referencing that, you know, they're not lighting it up offensively. So I'm guessing we're going to get a quick game, a lot of running, and a very close game. You think anybody needs more than about 20 to 25 to win this thing?
No, I think 25 points is going to win the game going away. And Hopefully the Dogs, you know, they made some adjustments in the run game. I know Wyoming's adjusting for that, but I think the Dogs are running game. The 2-3-headed monster has done pretty well. If you put them all together, they rushed for 1,000 yards. And I think they're going to get better this week, although Wyoming is tough on defense.
Well, the one problem Wyoming has had a couple of times, they've given up 200-plus yards on the ground, but you don't get a lot through the air. Matter of fact, the similarities of these two teams kind of striking. They both have three-headed monsters in the backfield, though the Bulldogs, I think, have a much more effective trio. And two quarterbacks that are going to be challenged to move the football through the air because the other defenses are going to say, we are not afraid of your ability to do that. So you've got a game that's set up, I'm going to say it one more time, Brian, whoever turns it over less probably wins the thing. And as much as Conklin didn't light it up, he also didn't make mistakes at Boise State. Is that the mode right now if you're Matt Entz saying, listen, you know, we know that you were a gunslinger, but we'd rather have you back there, even if it's a lot of three and outs, as long as you don't make the critical mistake that is a six the other way or a short field the other way. Is it that basic right now?
I think it is. We got to get a little better play from the quarterback. We got on those third downs. We got to convert more if we have to pass the ball. Hopefully they've been having enough time to get the passing game better. You know, he's had two full games starting now, and we'll see how he had one not-so-good game, one good-enough game, and hopefully he'll start having some better games.
We were talking the other day about the reality of the rest of the season, and, you know, you talk about it. We've been given this premise at the start of the year, we would have taken it, particularly after the San Diego State game. If you would have said that Fresno State was going to be in this position, would have taken it in a second, and the Bulldogs deserve due credit because they went to the Smurf Turf and won 30-7. But if Conklin continues to struggle, and you know that Mandel right now is not healthy enough and has not had the experience because of that to bring him in, would you, chasing down a title, a potential chance at least, consider putting Warner back in if you're Matt Entz, or do you say, no, his senior season, I just can't do that right now? How do you feel about it from your coaching point of view?
I would like to know what Warner's state of mind is. I mean, he was pulled unannounced
right
to the public that he's not starting, and he hasn't played a snap in two games. Now, is he gone in the tank, and is he feeling down? Or is he the kind of guy that's, you know, hustling to practice and doing everything he can to be ready if he gets to play? I don't know. But if he's the latter, then I think they should. If he's just kind of checked in his gear and is just going through the motions, then no, I would stay with Conklin. So it's really kind of the coach's feel on how he thinks Warner's mind is right now. If he's confident, if he's really, you know, intense and wants to get back in there and motivated to do a good job, he might give him a shot. And of course, he's going to also worry about what's that going to do to Conklin's confidence.
Well,
quarterbacks, you know, they're like on air. They're on like on air personalities, Tony. Tough to deal with.
I thought you were going to say that they're like field goal kickers. You never know, but okay, we'll go with on air personalities. And yes, you are right. All of them on air are egomaniacs and prima donnas and very difficult to deal with. That's right. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Okay. I kid. Because I'm
looking into my experience, Tony. That's my experience.
Yeah, well, I understand that completely. You and I have known each other a long time, so I get it. I know you're not talking about me, he says with a laugh. All right, that's enough of that. Okay, the reality of Conklin's game, he has really tried, I think, to mold his game, Brian, with what the team needs. And I give him due credit for that. But I will ask you, if you're going to lay blame about this offense, the lack of efficiency with the quarterbacking, how much do you put on the line? How much do you put on the wide receivers? I mean, let's be honest about it. Conklin's first start, the first two throws on third down, right on the numbers, and both dropped. Now, nobody's out there trying to do that on purpose, but this is not exactly Devontae Adams, Isaiah Burse, and those guys out there right now.
I would say I would rank it like this, Tony. Number one, if we're placing blame, offensive line. Number two, quarterback play. Number three, receiver play. You know, they did drop the two drops early in the first start. couldn't help with his confidence, especially on a tough team like San Diego State, trying to get some momentum and move the ball, which they never could right. all day. But I think that he's, you know, played better at Boise. I mean, I don't know how you can say he played better. Passed for, what, 34 yards, but they won the game, and it was a big win. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't throw a pick six like he did against San Diego State. So I think, you know, this is, game is going to be a big telltale sign for Conklin. He's had, you know, two tough teams, the two probably toughest teams in the league, other than maybe UNLV, but clearly Boise and San Diego State are in the upper echelon of the team. So he, his two starts, he played against them, one on the road, Boise, which is a tough place to play. San Diego State, he really didn't get much going. And Boise, he didn't get a lot going, but he made a few plays and the team won. So this game, the competition level's a little less. The defense will be pretty good, but it certainly won't be as good as San Diego State's defense. So right. he's going to make strides. Now's the time he better start doing it.
I know Matt will repeat the mantra, and every coach understandably does in this kind of situation. It's not just one game at a time. It's one play at a time that leads to one game at a time. So they're not looking beyond Wyoming. They can't, because the Bulldogs are not good enough to look past anybody. If they play their game, they're capable of beating anybody in conference. So they're right in the middle of this thing. But I do want to ask you about next week. If you're playing, and understandably, close to the vest, and I'm sure both teams are going to, like I said, the good news is if it is raining, and we're like you guys down south, we're having the pockets of rain where it rains hard, then it backs off. Yeah, 7:30 start, and this game may take barely 3 hours to play if both teams are running it. Now, if you get a lot of mistakes, that's different, but if we don't have a lot of penalties, a lot of turnovers, people are going to be in and out of there by 10:30. If you get away with it, Brian, that's all well and good. But next week, you have the opposite problem. You have a Utah State team that comes in that doesn't play great defense, but they can score. Does anything about this week apply to next week, or is it really a complete and utter reboot, and do you as a coaching staff, even with a win this week, have to rethink everything you do against a team that could put up 35 or 40 against you when your offense hasn't really been able to come close to that under most circumstances?
Well, I think first you got to worry about getting better in all phases of the game this week. Certainly the defense is going to have to make adjustments against Utah State. They got a great coach. Obviously, you can see how the program has turned already, just like you can see in New Mexico. They got a great coach, Eck. He's done a great job in New Mexico. I mean, if I was voting right now, despite the great job the San Diego State coach has done, I would give the Mountain West Coach of the Year to Jason Eck. I don't see anyone else, Tone. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt. We were going over the schedules earlier in the week, and what's amazing about this, well, nobody was looking, Brian. The way this thing plays out right now, New Mexico has Colorado State at home tomorrow. Barring New Mexico imploding, they're going to win that football game, because in Colorado State, the O-line, 1-2-3 Cancun, you know. I think Colorado State's on its way to the offseason. If they're able, the Lobos are, to win at Air Force the following week, which is going to be a challenge, if they get to that final game against San Diego State, they will have a chance, if things play out the way I think they're going to actually be the number one seed in the conference. And who in the world would have thought that going in?
Certainly no one in the Western United States. Although, I will say, Tony, having followed Jason Eck in his career, he's an excellent coach everywhere he's been. He's really, you can just see the leadership qualities that he has, the team, how far they were up after beating UNLV. And, you know, hey, we've seen New Mexico. We know how down that program has been. Guy's doing a hell of a job. As the Utah State coach. And he was also out there in the mix when we did our last search, and he's done a heck of a job.
And that's why they could.
Look at these new coaches coming to Mountain West, other than the Reno coach. Timmy Chang has done a good job. A lot of the San Diego State has done a really good job. Even San Jose, mm-hmm. guys have gone in there and done a great job, as has Matt Entz. And most of the coaches, Choate is struggling at Nevada, but most of these coaches have made an impact in the conference.
Well, with UNLV, talking about Mullen, They have Utah State in. They still have Hawaii, admittedly home games, but they still have challenges in front of them. That's why, if you want, we've said this. You got to buy the premise. You buy the bit. The premise has to be the Bulldogs are going to win the final three, as much as mathematically a three-loss conference team could get. I just don't think it's going to happen with the logjam you have with so many two-loss teams. So if you take that as a given, the Bulldogs have to win the final three. Yes, Boise State has to lose, but I really believe, and most people do, with Madsen out, I don't see them being able to sweep through. But I do see New Mexico having the capability of being that team where you look at the end of the year and say, you know what, we did what we needed to do at the end of the year, but somehow they managed to sneak in and grab off a seed that we thought we would get. That would be really galling for Fresno State. And that's why scoreboard watching is a lot of fun for us. It's also poison to the coaching staff. When you played, Brian, that wasn't an issue. How much with the team, the social media and the awareness about other games concern any coach out there right now, 18 to 22-year-olds trying to get them to focus when they can't help but notice what's going on somewhere else all the time?
Oh, I think it's a big distraction for all kids, you know, today in today's society, especially in sports. Coaches have to do a good job of keeping the kids grounded. And, you know, some coaches have certain rules on social media, but, I mean, it's all over the place, and you start believing it very easily. So, Tony, New Mexico has two losses already, right?
Right. But like I said, they finish home to Colorado State at Air Force, and then San Diego State comes in. So keep in mind, if they take care of business and they're sitting with two losses, even if the Aztecs beat Boise State and then San Jose State at home, if New Mexico beats San Diego State in that final game in Albuquerque,
now you got
the tiebreak, and they get the one seed. Now the question becomes, in that situation, Fresno State's going to be out of luck because San Diego State will win the tiebreak. Yeah. Now, whether the Aztecs get the two seed or not depends upon what happens with everybody else. But Fresno State knows that's the one scenario they don't want to see. They obviously do not want to see nobody in the conference, save for Boise State, wants to see Boise State win their final three. I don't think that's going to happen. But for Fresno State, they just don't want to get tangled up with a team that they haven't played. They have control over everybody else but San Diego State. And then UNLV and New Mexico, because the Bulldogs didn't play them, then you get to the computers and all that kind of stuff. And with New Mexico, it gets very messy because they can win the tiebreak over San Diego State. And then if the Bulldogs end up flat-footed tie with San Diego State, that's the one where Fresno State has lost that tiebreaker. It's something that, you know what, from a media standpoint, Brian, we talk about it, but I understand completely. If you go to a Matt Entz with this premise, he's going to look at you with glassed-over eyes and say, you know what, I don't really care right now, because if we don't win, it doesn't matter. And I know that that's the approach they want the team to have.
But if one last State does win, if they do win, Tony, interestingly enough, that New Mexico, San Diego State is on Friday afternoon. So the Bulldogs, when they play, they will know.
Well, that's just
that everything else happens. Assuming everything else happens, they win out as we expect. Everything happens. Let's just say New Mexico wins. They're out. Then it's all on the line for Fresno State against San Jose.
That's correct, because the Bulldogs are playing the Saturday game. You're right about that, because that, of course, is Thanksgiving weekend. The last thing, Brian, about Fresno State, the running backs, and I've asked you about the long term, and again, you know, the micro and the macro, right? The micro is the important thing right now, the game in front of you. The macro is where we're going next year in the pack and trying to not only acquire talent, but to retain talent. I think a guy like Bryson Donaldson, because he hasn't gotten a real chance to shine the way we had hoped, I don't see any way that he's not coming back unless somebody throws a lot of money at him, and I don't think that will happen because he just hasn't had the productivity. But I do wonder about Speedy. I just wonder, with 1 year to go, if Fresno State is going to have trouble holding on to him, Brian. You know him well. I've asked you before. Is he a guy that's tired of moving around, or would he say, you know what, if the big boys come calling, as long as the money's there, I owe it to myself to do this?
Well, I always think back to what I always say is the answer to the question is always money. It doesn't matter what the question is. However,
yeah, correct, Mr. Ohlmeyer, you're
believe
right.
That yes. Speedy is happy. Right. His family, he has there with him, some of his family. But we'll see. But, you know, it depends, I think, how the rest of the season plays out. I know the coaches love him. I know the players love him. He's a guy they want to keep. And let's hopefully we can keep him.
Well, again, it may have a lot to do with how this season ends up now, because it is, as you're saying, despite what's happened previously, all out there for Fresno State. Take care of your business. I believe it'll be okay. You can't get caught up in the scenarios. We can talk about it, but the team, Teddy had a great line, right? When we asked him about certain things, and Jeff said, you know what, we're down here in our submarine. We are just below the surface, so we're out of the noise. The noise is up above. Okay, there's a lot of noise there, but we are down below where we don't hear it. Every coach would love to believe that's the case with their team, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, if they're 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids, they're going to be affected. You just got to keep it to a minimum.
Well, we talk about that. You know, you and I are both 68, and I don't think either of us think we've got it figured out yet. Do we? Really? Seriously? Maybe you do. I certainly don't.
We're learning more every day, Tony. It's a learning process.
Right.
Every day we're getting closer.
Well, the great line by Don Henley, the heart of the matter, the more I know, the less I understand. And that applies to this country and the sport and everything in between. All right, one last thing I want to ask you about here, and that is what's going on at BYU. I wanted to get your input about this. A.J. DeBanza is a terrifically talented young man. He's from Boston. Talking about basketball now. Every big-time school came after him. But BYU, with young coming from the Phoenix Suns, put an infrastructure that mimics a professional team's organization, from the breakdown of game tape to conditioning to extra trainers to all of that stuff. It all took money. And seven figures, a high seven figure in regard to, I would approaching $7-8 million, whatever it was DeBanza got, was certainly there to tip the scales. But, Brian, is this the mode that is going to then guarantee in football and basketball this clear separation you and I have talked about, where never mind even the power conference designation, we are ultimately going to have to pair schools up with a set salary cap, a minimum and a maximum, and you're going to have to play within the confines of an association with everybody agreeing to the same rules, however many tiers it takes? Is that what we're going to see, more than a P2 or a P4? It's really going to be multi-layered on the basis of an agreement between schools about how much you're going to spend and how you're going to handle this entire situation?
Yeah, I think that's probably where it's headed, Tony. I mean, it's hard to tell, but, I mean, I don't see the NCAA being able to get any control of this situation. I just don't see,
mean,
see the money, how it's going now more and more. I saw the other day an article where they've come up with a scenario where you, Tony, contribute $100,000 NIL. The player that gets the money gets hurt and insured insurance. You get your money back, and the player gets their money.
Right. Well, BYU is a shining example. They have not been relevant in regard to even an Elite Eight berth since Danny Ainge was there, okay? And now all of a sudden, because of the money and the infrastructure that, again, was brought about not only because Young came from Phoenix, but because of the money that they had around them, they suddenly are relevant. So even though they are not a power school, I know they're in the Big 12, but they're not thought of in that same breath as the big boys, they have a chance. We were talking the other day, Texas Tech has a billionaire in Campbell, a wildcatter, much like Jerry Jones was, chasing natural gas and oil throughout Texas, worth $4 billion, recently retired. He's throwing a lot of money at Texas Tech. I mean, these are schools you don't think of when you think of the USC's and the Michigans or what have you, or the North Carolinas and the Dukes in basketball. But can anybody do this then, Brian? I mean, realistically, is that all it needs?
You just need money. And resources and people in the athletic department that are going to support it. I mean, I think that's the problem. When the academics don't want to support it, you're not going to be successful. So you're going to have to be at a school where you're going to get the support from the academics and the administrators to be able to pull it off. Because if they're not supporting it, it's not going to happen.
Well, in California, the state universities and even the UC systems, they can't get it. So you pray for a, you know, of the yesteryear of the T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State, or what we're seeing, like I said, at Tech right now, or what we have seen from Phil Knight for Oregon, or you were mentioning your neighbor, you know, who, as you mentioned to me, $50 million to Stanford was like, what, peanuts to an elephant to him? I mean, it just seems to be the world of elephants.
I mean, but, they're not the only one. You got Ole Miss has one guy that I know that's one of their biggest contributors. Each of these schools, some of them have a number of them, like USC and these others, but some of them, like Texas Tech, one or two key, Oregon, three players, finance the program.
Well, another shiny example, IU, Indiana University, John Mellencamp, with all of his millions.
It's the guy on the football. The football was Mark Cuban. The guy I'm looking at right now that owns Lanai, his sixth wife, Larry Ellison's sixth wife, put up the NIL money for Michigan football.
Well, Ellison is a story in and of himself, okay? But, you know, and look, before he passed away, Toby Keith was throwing millions at OU at Oklahoma. Okay, they standing on the sideline there the entire time, right? Berating the officials in Oregon that day when that game got away. I mean, I'm saying, do you look at that, Brian, and say, great for those universities? Too bad it isn't everybody around California at a state university level that can do it? Or does it repulse you in certain ways from a competitive standpoint?
I think I'm more on like, good for them. We need to find our guy. We need that Fresno State guy. We need our own T. Boone Pickens.
Well, you know, I know you have spent more than a few bucks toward Fresno State, but you're telling me you need company.
We need Phil Knight. We need Phil Knight. Bill Gates, wasn't his wife giving all this money to the CSU schools?
Yes, French. She was giving us. After she gave him a foot in the rear end, she was giving all his money away. But you know what? It would take a lot of lifetimes to give all of Bill Gates' money away. Trust me. I'll leave you with the thought I've told you before. You're down in L.A. You and I have kidded around about the Intuit Dome being Orwellian-like. You will cheer and you will like it. But can't you arrange some lunches with Steve Ballmer? He loves sports. He loves to talk sports. Can't you start making inroads with Steve Ballmer right now, Brian?
I think it's his wife is the Oregon, so I think he's tough. That's going to be a tough sell, Steve Ballmer.
Well, he was here when Paul George's jersey was retired, but unfortunately, Paul is no longer. Maybe Paul is a bad memory now because that reminds him of Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
In fact, Tony, they got shown that memory last night when they played OKC, and he put it on them. Although Luka did score, I think, over 50, and the Clippers still lost by 30.
The Lakers. Yes, well, I think Ballmer enjoyed
watching 30.
Well, I think Ballmer enjoyed watching the Lakers get pounded. I don't think he enjoys the fact that not only is it Gilgeous-Alexander, but two other critical stars on an Oklahoma City team came courtesy of that, say, Gilgeous-Alexander, Paul George deal. So, again, but I think Steve, as much as I worry about Steve's blood pressure, I think he still sleeps well at night. And I know that he has enough money that if you just cozy up to him, Brian, I'm sure you can get an extra billion or two out of him on a yearly basis, don't you think?
I'd be dropping out of his laundry. We could go through his laundry and find that.
It's got $82 billion. Come on. That's ridiculous. All right. Look, every day. We are Ohlmeyer. Every conversation, it comes down, no matter what the question, it comes down to one word, money, every single time. Hey,
it's the answer to every question, Tony. Doesn't matter what the question is.
Yes, that's correct. But I do want to wish you well, because I know as much as we're getting rain here, you guys are getting mudslides and everything. Is everything all right down there in natural disaster?
So far, I hear so far okay, but we'll see how the rain goes.
Well, but you're staying in the cozy confines of the South Pacific until it all blows over, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
Timing is everything, Tony.
That's like real estate.
Yeah, Fresno State. Look at it this way, Tony. Last year, Fresno State was doing their coaching search. There were not a lot of openings. They were able to get Matt Entz. This year, look at all the openings. Look at all the positioning for coaches. We're not in that. Timing is everything.
Nah, you're absolutely right. And I know that last January when we talked, that one day you were wearing an FBI hat trying to fend people off from your front yard with looters around. So it's a better time this winter coming up for you. I'm sure of that, Paisan.
We just got to win this week and we'll be on our way.
And no doubt. Hey, listen, have a great time on the islands, and I'll talk to you next week, my friend. Take care.
All right. God bless. Mahalo.
All right. I'll see you, Brian. All right, guys, live and direct from Hawaii. What else is new? Brian Panish. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. I'll tell you about the upcoming schedule. I want to tell you about our sponsors and remind you about everything coming up, not only tonight, but across the weekend. A very busy sports weekend for us on both 1430 and 790. We'll do that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to 40. About 15 minutes from the show, hand it off to Phil as I can. Come behind the bench a couple of hours, then he's on his way to Philharmonica tonight with Paul Meadows and Pat Hill. Great playoff matchup. Clovis West, 6:30 to Priest, 7 o'clock. They'll kick it off. Rainy, wet night. And I've mentioned this many years ago. A game, I think it was Halloween night, between Edison and Clovis at La Monica, where it had rained and rained and rained. And if people are familiar with the original press box at La Monica Stadium, they've changed things now because they have the coaches up above. But it was just the press area and then a covered roof above. And we were doing the broadcast, the radio broadcast, from the press box area. But there are windows, they're plexiglass windows that swing out and they hook out, because obviously when they close up the press box, they don't want the windows open. And so there was a cable radio crew for Edison that was going to do the game. This is when cable radio was thought to be the next great thing, he says with a laugh. And the guys were late. And so everybody else who had come in, the Fresno B guys, anybody who's come in, the PA guy, when you got there, you unhooked your window that was open and closed it. Where they were going to broadcast from, they hadn't gotten there yet. So the window was still swung open, and it happened to overhang the first couple of rows of the bleachers. So you had not a great crowd, but there were some people there. And they, of course, clustered underneath that open window that was acting like a roof, if you will, because that was the only way to stay out of the rain. And water was accumulating on the top of this plexiglass. And I see probably 5-6 people clustered underneath. And here they come in the middle of the first quarter, the broadcast crew. And they're in a hurry. They roll in this. It looked like something that a mobile DJ would have. They roll this equipment in. They hook it up. And without looking down below or warning, they unhook the window. And all of that water just comes cascading down on these people and just soaks them to high heaven. And it was one of the strangest things I've ever seen, because on the one hand, you feel horribly for them. On the other, you want to throw yourself on the floor and start laughing because they were foolish enough to get underneath that to begin with. I hope that that is not the case tonight. I know this. You're going to have a huge crowd regardless tonight for the game. And we'll have the broadcast for you. All right, that having been said, I'll get to the schedule in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our sponsors, and thanks, guys, for being patient on a Friday so I can get Brian in and out. Most of the time he's in court. This case, He's staring at the Lanai Peninsula. Yeah, good gig if you can get it. Anyway, thanks to the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Great people. Really appreciate everything they do for the Valley sporting-wise and for our station. And right now they have a throwback to the late 90s because they're putting the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything. That would mean chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love, 2-, 3-, 4-piece meals on sale. Also, keep in mind, you've got the Tuesday deal still in place, $10 for the 8-piece bucket or the 8 tenders. On Wednesdays, you have got the $5.99 country fried steak. Great offers. The chicken sandwich is still $3.99. That hasn't changed. Everything at KFC is finger-licking good. So if you're planning a late lunch or an early dinner right now, stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman. Tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. All right, the other reminders, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, they've been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people themselves. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, very timely. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-5337. That's 825-LEES or leesair.com on the web. They also bring guests like Brian Panish up on our show. The same for Phil and guests from the general public. The callers for Phil, 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air hotline. And again, the weather itself, warned you yesterday about it, a little late in arriving, but it has gotten here. And we're going to have this going on now between now and through Monday. Three separate storms, the one yesterday to today, and then one Saturday, Sunday. That's the one that was down in L.A. or is going to be down in L.A., and they're getting a lot of rain right now there. But it's going to come back up the coast again and hit us. So it's like the second version, and it will impact the game tomorrow. Initially, we thought maybe the rain's earlier in the day, but it looks like it'll be later in the day. But it depends where you are. You're going to get pockets in the valley of heavy rain and then dry spells and then back to heavy rain again. And certain people are going to get hit harder than others. It just depends upon where you are. But it's going to be the same pattern today, tomorrow, Sunday, and then maybe a bigger storm on Monday. And by the time it's all said and done, 2.5 to 3 inches potentially of rain on the valley floor. A lot of flooding. The burn scar areas, it's already an issue in the foothills. So everybody be very careful. And if you're going to the game tomorrow night, well, you know what? Dress in an appropriate way. If you're going to the basketball game at 7 o'clock, you don't have to worry about it till you get in the get out of the place. But I suppose what you could do is go to the basketball game and then head over to the second half of the football game if you have tickets. The game, of course, is on FS1 tomorrow. Two running teams. The rain probably isn't going to matter a whole lot. Neither team has gotten much done through the air, but it is going to make for a problematic weather night. And again, throughout the weekend, you got to be really careful out in the streets because we all know growing up here, we're not exactly aces at handling a lot of rain. It builds up in a lot of places, and a lot of people aren't used to how careful you need to be on the roads. You guys probably figured that out by now. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather, and I'll just hit you with this. 63 today, 59 tomorrow, 60 on Sunday, 59 Monday, and then we go 60, 57, 59, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the ever-present fog. You know this, once the rain stops, the moisture there, you're going to have fog everywhere, so be very careful anywhere you might be in the valley and get ready for heavy rain and then pockets of dryness and then rain once more depending upon where you are throughout the valley. Again, if you need more from Lee's, anything Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call, 825-5337 or leesair.com on the web. The other reminder comes from our friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating his 25th anniversary in town. He's been a booster at Fresno State for over 3 decades. Terrific guy, native son of the Valley, an outstanding basketball player in his own right. And Joe will tell you, if you have any issues at all, if you're a plant maintenance person, if you're working at a boiler service, anything that involves a valve, if one goes down, your business could come crashing down in a big hurry. And what Superior Pipe can do for you with their pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. They can keep you up and running if you're taking a hit, if it's already a big time problem and you have crashed completely. They'll get you back up and running in a big hurry. Again, same day estimates, same day service, family friendly. Stop in and see Joe or Gabe, who works for Joe, 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103. Give him a call at 266-7473. If you can't make it in person, that's 266-PIPE. Or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe has a direct email. That's Gabe Mullins, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Again, really nice local people at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. And Joe allows me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. That link for the BDF, very important, and the BDF celebrating its 25th or its 75th anniversary right now. So check that out. There are Giving Society headers there as well for the Green V Society and the Myers Champion Circle. Also, you have got ways to give with the sports clubs. You've got a delineation of how you can go about your giving to the university. The Green V Society, Myers Champion Circle, important. And also the Valley Co-op, very, very important right now. That link is there as well. The sports clubs enable you to send your money directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Bulldogs are home tomorrow with Utah Valley at 7 o'clock. That's an unfortunate scheduling snafu that came about when FS1 decided they wanted a 7:30 start to the football game. But Jack Furtick is on the board of directors of the Timeout Club for men's basketball. They'd love to have more members. He said give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, furtickjack@aol.com. There are other links there for men's and women's sports. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other links for the women's sports as well. Good way to make sure your money goes to the proper sport. Finally, under the header of more, you've got information for tickets and parking and other things on campus. So check all of that out at GoBulldogs.com. It is the best way to give to Fresno State right now. You know the NIL monies are under the aegis of the university, so any sponsorship idea you might have, any donation, big or small, Fresno State wants to hear from you. I want to thank Joe Cruz for allowing me the time to tell you about that and make sure you stop by his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply in town, if you have any need at all from an industrial standpoint. Finally, I want to tell you about the upcoming schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, that is Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. For more information, Ed has been a chief fundraiser for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State and a proud graduate of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering. A lot of those graduates go to work for Ed at Precision. The goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully. We commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater, and he allows me the time to tell you about the upcoming schedule. Tonight, mentioning high school football, playoff action, Clovis West at La Monica. It's Phil, it's Paul Metters, it's Pat Hill. 6:30 the pre, 7 o'clock they'll kick it off. The Lakers are over on 790 at 5 o'clock against the Pelicans. The Lakers jump over to 14:30 tomorrow against the Bucks. So a couple of big games. LeBron getting close to coming to finally play in this season, as he's been out, as people know, since the start of the season back in October. Big football weekend for us. The Rams and the Seahawks, 105. The 49ers also have a 105. The 49ers and the Cardinals as well. Both of those games on our air, the 49ers on 14:30 on Sunday, the Rams and the Seahawks, critical matchup at the top of the NFC West on 790. The Raiders host the Cowboys on Monday night, so we'll have the Raider broadcast for you. It's Major Wager Monday, Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, a great time, great food of me and Ed's, great atmosphere. Giveaways, a lot of fun. Stop by Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Raiders and the Cowboys. The place ought to be full for that one. We always have Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games, and then the 49ers, Raiders, and Rams, and everything right through the Super Bowl from Westwood One or from one of our local teams if they get there. Also want to remind you, talking about Paul Metters, he has two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show on 790, our sister station, The Deuce, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. Also, his long-running and outstanding show, Central Valley Sports Report, on 1430 live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday. Phil normally with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Great conversation at Phil's show. Some good eats as well. Give Phil a call, as always, 559-320-1430. That's the Lee's Air hotline. Stop in and see him on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture El Paso across from River Park. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And then the final reminder for those that have been trying to listen live this week, the live link has been down. All of the shows have been available for podcasts. We hope to have everything sorted out because I've heard from a lot of you, from Rick up north, JJ on the central coast down south, a lot of other people as well. We'll get back to you with the live link as soon as we possibly can. Stay tuned for Phil. Get ready for that great high school game tonight. Also to Clovis Dave. Channel 59 will be in Tulare for Kingsburg and Tulare Union tonight. You had asked me about that one. We will see you guys on Monday with Paul. I hope things work out for both the basketball and football teams tomorrow. We'll talk about it Monday on KFIG Fresno.